Now I'm going to ask Squadron Leader retired Jim Rankin to talk to you about some of the centenary commemoration activities and so on. Unfortunate thing is there was supposed to be a flypast a couple of Saturdays ago.
It was.
But as a result of bad weather, it got cancelled. Jim was actually going to video the thing and bring a presentation of the actual flypast. But I'll leave the rest of the moment to Jim to explain.
Yeah,
and then we'll still have another opportunity for questions after that.
Okay, it's up on there, but it's not up on there. Jim Rankin, retired last year from uniformed service after 45 years of flying for Her Majesty, now His Majesty. But I continue to work as a defence civilian, took over the job of Jim Jennings. He's in the back there somewhere. Thanks, Jim, your notes are amazingly good. One of my main roles for about 25 of those 45 years was running RNZAF. One of my main jobs for that 25 years was actually running all Air Force air displays and our participation in civil events. At my recent dining in, we did a bit of a count back. I've done over 250 of them in that career, so that's a fair number of air displays. And this was going to be one of them. Somehow Joe found out about that, and they asked me if I would do a presentation. The whole presentation here. So I went to the Wigram Museum to start asking questions, to do some research, and the museum says, well, we've actually got an expert. Why don't you get him to come and do the talk? And I went, yeah! So that saved me an awful lot of work, and obviously Simon's knowledge is just unreal. What I got to do was look after this 100th anniversary flypast. Gestation of that actually started about 3 years ago, and I was flying King Airs at the time, and I flew the Chief of Air Force to Wanaka to talk to the organisers of the Warbirds Ever Wanaka Air Show. And they had a meeting to talk about what they were going to do and things like that. And afterwards, we were sitting out on the barbecue table in front of the thing there, having lunch. And I said to the chief, so what do you want to do in 23? Because up until then, the plan had been to do the 85th anniversary of the Royal New Zealand Air Force here at Ahakia. And that was also to celebrate the P-8 arrival, the building of the new hangar, all that sort of thing. Chief said, no, he's changed his mind. He wants an air display at Wigram. And I can actually distinctly remember choking on my bottle of Coke. You want what? Yeah, I want an air display at Wigram. And one of the advantages of being me is after 45 years, virtually every senior officer in the Air Force has at some stage been my student. So I can sort of tell them what I think. And I actually politely suggested to them I'd like something that what he's smoking, because it must be pretty powerful stuff. Because how are you going to do a display at Wigram? We tried. Kath Wondren. Conventional air display was not possible due to the encroachment of suburbia. Most of you remember Wigram? Yeah. Been there at some stage? Yeah. Well, it's a bit different now. So the original dimensions, let's make sure I don't get rid of it, dimensions of the airfield comes out here, it goes down here, all the way down here, up here, actually slightly further to about there. And so most of Wigram is a big subdivision with the runway carved up. So there's absolutely no way you can do any form of conventional air display. But the chief wanted it. So we scratch our head and we come up with the idea of a flypast. Only a viable way of getting activity. So think of the Queen's Jubilee flypast or the King's Coronation, which also got curtailed badly by weather. A series of aircraft flying overhead. We figured out we could actually do a Kiwi Blue parachute drop, so our parachute display team's called Kiwi Blue. We also wanted to safely take photos and video to record the event and also provide helicopter displays to support the museum open day. Well, we got sort of 2 out of 3, but we didn't quite get all of them. I presented the chief a wee while later, having done a bit of research, with two options. So we could do the whole history of aviation, military aviation, and that was Tiger Moths to current. So I'm talking Tiger Moths, Harvards, air trainers, jets, fighters, you name it, all the way through. Came to about 70 aircraft in 15 formations. It would have been massive. Would have been pretty good. And I talked to a lot of the civil people involved, the Tiger Moth Club, the Warbirds, Roaring Forties. They all thought it was a great idea. This would have been the best thing since sliced bread. Unfortunately, we didn't have the dollars for it. So I figured out roughly how much it would cost, and the answer was no. Sorry, we don't have that sort of money at the moment. Apparently, Mr. Robertson doesn't like us that much, so we're not. So the other option was just the current military. And initially, the chief's direction was everything available will fly that day. Once again, got curtailed a little bit. I think we actually got just about everything that's flyable at the moment. It's not a lot of planes. There's a whole lot of things slowing right down. So we came up with the plan. So how do you safely get a whole lot of aircraft travelling at very different speeds over a point in space in a very short period of time? And the museum, for its own purposes, didn't want it spread out over, you know, a half an hour or an hour. It wanted it nice and tight. So I had helicopters doing 90 knots, and I had Boeing 757s doing 240 knots. So you've got to somehow get them within a minute of each other over a point in space without hitting each other. And it's actually a little bit more tricky than it sounds. A lot of thinking goes into this. We ended up with this airspace, and this took over 6 months in the negotiation with our friends at Air Traffic Control to actually get that. So that's Christchurch Airport there, nice big airport. There, that's Christchurch West Melbourne. There's the Christchurch Control Zone around it, and Wigram is in this little wee thing called the East Sector, which is east of Christchurch, and it's clear of all the instrument traffic. And that's basically the airspace we had to work with, so it's controlled. And the plan was that everybody who was part of the flypast would actually start the flypast at the New Brighton Pier, which is about there. You all seen the pier, Christchurch, most of you, right? Very conveniently, the pier is 8 miles from Wigram. 8 miles, 240 knots, exactly 2 minutes. Great. Okay, even pilots can do 2 minutes, which is pretty good. So we protected the airspace out over the water, which is where a lot of the aircraft were holding, ready to run in. We had the airspace briefly. We had a half an hour tops of that airspace because Christchurch Airport really wanted it back. And then they had to make an immediate hard left turn as they overflew Wigram to avoid busting Christchurch airspace and truck out towards Lake Ellesmere. And the plan was that the helicopters were going to be starting from South Shore at the bottom of the shore here. They actually got airborne from Wigram, go to South Shore and orbit there. The Texans, because Texans single engine, they don't like flying over water for some funny reason, they were going to hold to the other side of the pier, up over here. And then space out along here were all the multis, the big ones. So the King Airs ended up at 7 miles, the Hercules was supposed to be 12, the P8, 20, the Boeing 28 miles, all in holding patterns, so they could end time their running. That was the plan, and it was actually a pretty good plan. When you put it together, don't worry too much about that, it's actually remarkably convoluted and detailed, and it's to the second of what time they had to be at various places. What time did they take off? What time did they cross the coast? They had to enter a hold at a certain time, hold altitudes were separated, had to depart the hold at 42 seconds after time, 5-7, all that sort of thing. So the pilots were left in no doubt at all exactly what they had to do to actually make this work. And there's a whole lot of radio calls. These slides, a lot of them are actually taken from the briefing we did on the day, which we actually carried out even though we knew we weren't going to go fly. The way it should have worked is I didn't have to do anything on the day. I made one radio call, which was flypast approved. And all I did was listen on that big sheet there, tick off that everyone made the call at the right time. If they all made the calls at the right time, my life was sweet. Life would be pretty cool. Problem was, and this is the hard bit, if the flypast goes as it's supposed to go, just like any flypast, it's actually pretty easy. It looks like, you know, it's a no-brainer. But there were three contingencies we had to worry about, three big contingencies. One is, what if an aircraft has an emergency? Someone has a problem with the aircraft. He can't continue with the flypast. So I had to protect the airspace above 1,500 feet, which meant the ceiling had to be a little bit higher than would really be preferable. So if you had an emergency, you went straight to 2,000. And you had that whole area to yourself. You could do what you like, and everybody else would stay underneath you and continue with their flypast route. We couldn't stop them doing that. The other big one was Christchurch Hospitals, right by Wigram. They have to fly pretty well through the flypast route if you have an EMS, emergency medical helicopters. And both Garden City and Otago rescue helicopters said that we're in there at least three times a day. So my worst nightmare was, we've got these guys, they've all commenced their run-in. I can't change them now, they're on their way. And EMS calls up and says, I've got a critical patient, I've got to get the Haggy right now. So what do we do for that one? All right, so everybody has to climb 1,500 feet if they've started their run-in. If they haven't started their run-in, the first aircraft left the hold at 1,353, then, okay, we can put what we call a Rolex on it. So in Air Force terminology, if you're told Rolex plus 10, add 10 minutes to your time. So up until the time that we had started the flypass, everyone was leaving their holds, we could Rolex. But after that time, no, it's happening. Because the last thing you want to try and do is when aircraft are all running in at different speeds, oh no, knock it all off, go somewhere else. Doesn't work. And talking about different speeds, the third contingency is, okay, what if someone screws up? And it does happen. How many of you were at the Ohakia Open Day a few years ago where we tried to get that one photo of every Air Force aircraft? So we had the three formations. So the Thunder formation, which was the Boeing leading the Herc and the Orion. The Lightning formation, which was the King Air leading two Texans, and a helicopter formation. They had the easiest job. Thunder formation was 0 seconds from time on target. Lightning was 1 second out, which is still pretty good. Helicopters, 11 seconds late. And they have never been allowed to live that down. Because instead of being able to take click one photo with every aircraft stacked up there, we've got every aircraft and helicopter. It didn't go down well. Alright, so what if someone did screw up? Something went wrong, they got the timing wrong. We had a 1 minute separation as they flew overhead Wigram. We would allow aircraft to be either 20 seconds late or 20 seconds early. They got outside that, we've lost our lateral separation. We can't do that. So once again, part of the plan was that if you hit the IP, if you hit New Brighton Pier, and you were not within 20 seconds of that time on that sheet, you're out of it. Bugged out. So a third level of protection was then meant they had to make an immediate left-hand turn track to South Shore. And their part in the flight past was over. So like I said, the flight past itself, not hard if it all works. It's always the contingencies. What if a plane has a problem? What if an EMS requires to come in? What if someone screws up their timing? That was the hard bit, making sure that didn't get what. We did have a plan B, which was just the Texans to do a flight past at Wigram if the conditions were too bad for everybody else. And the important thing was to watch the rugby grow the Crusaders. debrief point, oh, that's, don't really worry about that. So we did the full brief anyhow. I'm always working on constant improvement. So the guys, okay, let's pretend we're going to go flying. We'll do the brief. And one of our questions is, as you leave the briefing, have you got any questions? If you have, I haven't done the briefing properly. So far they've all said, yeah, pretty happy. We knew what we were doing, which is good. One of the things we decided to add in to the mix, because we realised that the way we had the aircraft departing from Christchurch, the biggest aircraft actually departed first, because they were going to the furthest away hold point, the Boeing. So he got airborne first to track all the way up to 28 miles, and then the P8 would go out to 20 miles and blah, blah, blah. And Christchurch said, oh, we'd really like it if we could line them up on the cross runway. So they're just sitting there ready to taxi out and go so they can find a hole for them. Yeah, good idea. Oh, they're all going to be lined up. Why don't we try and take a photo? Great. So we jacked up photographers and everything like that we're going to be photographing the thing. And we measured out, okay, how long do aircraft last, how what's the distances, blah, 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 and came up with that. So we told the plane, right, the Boeing, I want you to taxi out so your nose wheel is right at the start of the old marks there, and then the P8, the Herc, he was cancelled the day before. So I didn't have time to change this, so we just moved everybody up one, and we actually could then put the helicopters at the back. So we tried that, and that was the result. So we didn't get a fly pass, but we got a pretty cool photo, so we're pretty happy about that. The P8 driver is still getting grief about the fact that he's bloody offset parking here. So he told me that he was well aware of his parking, he just wanted to make sure that the camera could see him from the helicopter. Difficulty believing that. The pity of the Herc not being there is that that would have given us all of the current fleet. Sea Sprite was never in the mix, it couldn't be there for other reasons. It would have been really nice if you had that one photo of your New Zealand Defence Force fleet. So we got that, there's a few other shots which are actually pretty cool. So that's what it looked like. You can probably see in the background there the weather. Wasn't that good. So we actually sent the two helicopters across in the morning to be static display before the weather really crapped out. It came back, at the time this photo was taken, it was overcast at 300 feet, and visibility, they were estimating 2,000 metres. The two helicopters tried to get airborne to come back, and oops, no, they had to land back again. They actually couldn't get airborne, the weather was so bad. They ended up pretty well hover taxiing their way down to get home singly, one at a time, because of the weather, they just couldn't fly as a formation. I actually told the NH90 crew afterwards that I just had a phone call from the cops, and they were going to ping him for running a red light on Memorial Ave. That's about what he was doing. All right, and the museum itself, yeah, that's a helicopter departing rig, and once again you can see the bad weather, but it was really great to see that despite the fact that we couldn't do the flypast, very appreciative crowd. I was told there was about 4,000 people through there through the day. So from an open day point of view, very, very successful. It was great to see. Just a pity we didn't get the flypast. Yeah. And that's it.
Well done.
Yeah. I don't know what's worse. a video clip or a static, but that was fantastic. And, you know, a word of commendation for all of the Anzac Day services that we've run here for, the last 5 or 6 years? And whenever Air Force have been involved and we've had flypasts, time on target has been absolutely spot on. The only problem is that we didn't know what direction they were coming. So while we were looking up Rangitiki Street, suddenly they'd be in, you know.
We did that to confuse you.
Yeah. But, you know, you have to take your hats off. It worked really well. Any final questions for our two speakers? Everybody wants to get home for dinner, or? Well, look, can I just take this opportunity yet again to thank both Simon and Jim for their presentations. Been absolutely superb, and, you know, a good way to commemorate a centenary, which doesn't come around too often. So once again, join me, please, in thanking our